I guess to say that out of one side of my mind and my heart knows that you don't get asked to stand if the Lord's not in it. And I just certainly hope to hold up my end of this. I tried to, you know, Allison, the first thing she asked me was, do you think you have anything? And, well, like I so often do, you know, I try to steal away some time. I'd like to say every night, but that'd be a lie. But I try to read and try to get into the Word and as often as I possibly can. And there was a thought that had gone through my head and through my heart, and the Lord let me know this afternoon that it was just in my head. So a little later this afternoon, I've gone downstairs and I've got a basement in my house is my domain. I pulled the dog in there, and she's not going to make a big mess of a concrete basement. And she's brought her in and took the book down with me. And the Lord laid something on my heart, and I don't want to belabor anything, but I've got a, if you'll open your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 15. I'd like to read through verses 1 through 10. There's some other verses, but I don't know if I'll get to them. John 15, you know, I'm one of those ones that I'm envious of those 12 men that Jesus called unto himself during those last couple of years of his life. Oh, what they must have learned, what they must have felt. I mean, I'm a fairly well-educated person, but the price of that education is it's too much for words. And Jesus called to himself the 12 in this story, and it goes as it reads, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is without, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it will be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now, may God bless the reading of the word. One thing that I take out of this more than anything in the world is that we strive so often to do the right thing, and do what the Lord has laid on our hearts. And we can see in our communities and in our country and yet in the world the confusion. You know, everybody wants to do something, just something great. And they're, something great for them instead of doing something great for the Lord. You know, it might be something as simple as Andrew bringing forth, let's remember back that story of feeding of the thousands, those loaves and fishes. Andrew brings forth a child, and a child amongst them, not because he didn't know exactly what the Lord was going to do. He didn't know how he was going to do it, but he had faith to know that the Lord somehow was going to take a little and gain a lot.
Amen.
You know, when we think of I'm not a great farmer. I'm not much of a farmer of any kind. I can grow grass, although my yard's mostly dirt. I'm real proud of it. But if it hadn't been for those days of sweat and toil out there in my yard in the last year, and sitting there saying more than a few prayers that I might see something green, I might see something cover that yard. I got blessed. I got a little bit of I got a little bit of grass and a whole lot of weeds. It's my duty to go out there and I have to pull them weeds, just like those grape farmers. Just like the husbandman, he's got to go through there. And he's got to pull off all the fruitless branches. We have a revival coming up. We've got a summer revival coming up. We've got Bible school. We've got church camp. We have all these things that we expect blessings out of. But yet, are we doing what we need to do to bear that fruit? Are we praying for it? Are you praying for it every day? I'm certainly lying if I said I was doing it every day. And I'm certainly not. I'm sure I'm not the only one there. Because I let other things get in the way. How many times do we go into something with the greatest of intentions? I'll have those little problems pop up. The problems of the job, that come up, well, that distracts me. And sooner or later, we pushed off God. We pushed him a little further back. And every time, every time something comes up, we'll push him a little bit further back. Pretty soon, we're not bearing any fruit. What happens, I remember the first house Allison and I ever had, and I loved that little house. And it'll always be special to us because that was the very, very first house we ever had together. And the memories that we had in that are priceless to me and precious. One of the things that we had there were two rows of grapevines. And I'd seen grapevines before and my neighbors had them, but I'd never really had to care for them. In the first two years, we didn't do anything to them. They just bushed out and they produced a little bit of fruit. Very little fruit. But it was very sweet. And that fruit, the more I'd read things and I'd do little things around there, I'd pull the weeds out of them and the briars or whatever. But it wasn't until we cut them back. I cut them back 1 year, and we got a little bit more fruit. We've got to cut out things inside the church, even. We've got to cut things out of our lives to separate us from God. As we go forth as Christians into the community, we can't live one way and expect people to act another. We can't go forth into the community and sin, expecting people to expecting God to reward us with any kind of blessing. We can't live a double standard. But we have to do what's expected of us in order to gain those blessings. We have to nourish what we've got. We saw a great harvest last year of kids, and that was priceless and precious. But there again, that was years and years of toil in the garden. That took not just the mamas and the daddies and the good deacons and the preachers. It took each and every one of us to go behind there and make sure there weren't any weeds in the garden.
Amen.
There weren't any briars or thorns in the way. We pulled them away and offered up prayers for those little souls that they might be saved, that they might, that their little hearts might have been pricked in a way that each and every one of us has been touched. And we saw that blessing. But yet, over the sun, you know, I find even in my own life, I see that, and I know what it took to get us to that point, and yet we kind of fell back, and you fall back, you rest on your laurels. We can't do it. Because the other thing this verse, this chapter tells us about is the lake of fire. If we don't lay up, if we don't work that garden, if we don't do what the Lord would have us to do, if we don't go out into the community and witness to the community, we don't allow our own lives to reflect that love and that light of God, what, you know, there again, we're just laying the, we're laying the road straight into a lake of fire. We've got to be the stop. We've got to follow our hearts. We've got to follow His lead. We want to bear fruit. We want to see a great harvest. You know, I don't have kids yet. And Lord willing, in His own time, we'll see that. I want this altar to be here for those kids, my kids, so that when my kids come up, I want it to be there.
Amen.
For every kid in this that's born into this church, for them to know that they don't have to rely on mama and daddy to be the ones to go up there with them. They can rely on Sean and Allison. They can rely on Barry. They can rely on Roger and Mama Love. You know,
bless the Lord.
That's one of those things that I hold very dear to this church. And this is why I fought so much with the Lord to even bring a message forth like this. That, you know, because in a way it's stepping on more toes than maybe I have reason to do. But it stepped on my toes when I read it. And it got revealed to me. Because I know that I fail on a daily basis. And all I can do is do my best to be there and to go forth and to be that worker in the vineyard. You know, the most important part of producing any kind of, I remember an ad back in the 70s, and this might be a really bad thing to say, but there's no wine before it's time. In a way, it's got a lot of truth to it. You can't pick sour grapes and make it sweet drink. Everything will happen in its due time. God will determine that time. You know, I waited 31 years. I told Tim yesterday that I was 31 years old when I got saved. And it wasn't because I didn't know I was lost. I knew I was lost for 24 years. But I ran from it. I got so good at running and not looking back. And that might sound funny to hear a fat man say, yeah, I got real good at running. But I did. I got real good. But I got the biggest reward of my life when I had a friend call me back and say, hey, come up with me to church. And I knew what it was like to not sleep for 3 days. Because every time I'd lay my head down, all I could hear was the Lord talking to me. Do I believe in still small voices? I do. I do. I do. More than anything in my life. I treasure that small voice telling me that I'm lost and this is it. I fear for that person that we're not reaching out to in this community. I fear for that one that might be here in our church, in our midst, that we're not reaching out to enough. That we're not saying, I love you. That we're not going up to to and saying, are you lost? I said something at church camp last year that it might rub some people the wrong way, but it might not. And that was, I don't like hearing the term, are you okay? It's too easy to say, yeah, I'm fine. Too many people ask me, was I okay? Yep, I'm okay. Got money, got a job, you know, got a good family. I'm okay. They didn't ask me the right question. They didn't ask me, if you die today, where are you going to wake up? If you walk into this church as a lost person on the day the good Lord tells time to stop, are you going to get caught up with the rest of us? Or are you going to be staying here? Are you going to be staying here and be thrown in like dead branches into a lake of fire? You know, it gives pause to thought. And I might, where we might fail, we're all going to fail. But we can all take joy in the fact that if we answer the Lord's call one time, we've done enough for ourselves. But have we done enough for everybody else? You know, are we meeting our obligations? You know, in the men's group, do we do everything that we can to help out? You know, are we reaching forth into our communities? You know, are we reaching out into our own world? You know, there was one person that I really came to admire in all the day, you know, in the years that Allison and I worked with the kids. And there were a lot of them, and I love every one of them kids. But I really admire Erin Moore and everything that she stood for, and just the spirit and the energy that runs through that young woman. And what she's doing, is trying to do this summer and going to Africa. Now, I think that's amazing. It's commendable that a child in this day and age would have the heart to do something like that. But it's not Erin that's doing it. It's the Lord working through Erin. And Erin's good enough, and she's smart enough, and she's in tune with the Lord enough that she can do that. She can read, you know, she can let the Lord work through her. You know, every time I get around preachers, especially pastors at other churches, I tend to slink back into the corner. Because, you know, this is hard. This is hard for me because I don't speak well to people. I just don't. I freeze up. But I can look. I'm willing to bring forth what I have. Amen. And do the best I can at it. Amen. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose at it, but at least I'm going to do what the Lord wills me to do and in the best shape that I can. And that if I had a thought above another through this whole thing, it's this. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a deacon. And you don't really have to be good at much of anything. Go forth and love somebody else enough to go to them and say, are you lost? You know, do you have a home in the glory? I've got a mansion. You know, I love that song that Barry and Raj sang. Yeah. Barry, Raj, and Julie.
Amen.
It means more. The first couple of times I heard it, I heard it, but I didn't hear it with my heart. I heard it with my heart. And ever since I've heard that with my heart, it speaks volumes. Are we doing enough? Are we doing, you know, are we reaching out into the community? Are we reaching out to the person sitting next to us? Are we reaching out into the world? And what kind of light are we showing the world? I know it was scattered, and you know, I certainly know that there any one of these men could have done a much better job than I did. But I love each and every one of you. If there's one thing that I could ask any of you, is that, you know, we do what the Lord what the Lord will have us to do. And we pray for this revival. And we pray for everything that we've got coming up in this church over the next several months. And we've also got an association revival that's being planned. And we really need to lay out prayers for that too. Because that's really a way for this community to really hear the preached word of God. You know, instead of hearing what they want to hear. Let's give them what they need to hear. Let's feed the flock. I love y'all. That's all I've got.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
so
much. We asked them if they would to come and get a song. I appreciate so much what the Lord sent through Sean tonight. Couldn't help but think when he was talking about still having an altar one of these days whenever his children and grandchildren came along. That is something that has really worried me, especially since my son was married about a year ago. My daughter will be turning 18 very soon, and Lord willing, she may get married, may have children someday, and I may have grandchildren through my son. The Bible tells us, I believe it's in the book of Proverbs, to seek out the old paths, wherein it's a good way, and walk ye therein. A lot of folks will interpret that to seek out the old traditions, but it don't say that. It said seek out the old paths, wherein it's a good way. And I'm glad that folks like you that went before me, my forefathers and my ancestors, they walked in the old paths and wherein was a good way. They provided me as a young lad of a boy with a pastor and men of God that would stand behind this sacred desk and preach the gospel to me. They wouldn't just tell me what they thought that I wanted to hear, but they would actually preach the gospel to me. Thought about this. Jesus told his disciples one time, he said, many of you this night are going to be offended because of me. And I'm here to tell you that the night that conviction came on my heart, I was offended. But you know what? Before I left there, I wasn't offended anymore. I sure was glad that Jesus pricked my heart and let me know that I needed him to free pardon of sin. My heart's desire and prayer for Silver City Church and for the whole world is that lost boys and girls and men and women might be saved. And that's what Sean has told us tonight, that that's his desire too. And I just want to encourage, I've been encouraged, and I want to encourage you that as revival gets closer, that we might turn away from the things of this world, that we, Tim, that we might get sincere with the Lord and seek His will and find those old paths. We may have to, as Sean said, I'll get stirred up here in a minute. Thank you, Sean. It may be. It's been a while since we walked down that old path. It may be that we may need to take a saw with us and move away some of the branches. It may be that we may need to take a shovel with us and make the path a little bit easier. Carl and Polly Stewart sang a song, Working the Road. They wanted to make it easy for those behind. I'm glad for those. Boy, I tell you what, God is good. I thought about this morning on the way over to church. I'm thankful. And I thought we would have got to say it this morning, but the Lord didn't bring it to our heart. I'm thankful for you, dear saints. He's not really, Robert's not mad at me. He was giving me a hard time about talking about the old folks this morning and telling about how much I appreciate the young folks. But I'll tell you, Roger, tonight, how much that I appreciate those of you that have
Oh, I had a burden on your heart that you establish a place like Silver City Baptist Church where your children, your grandchildren, and your grandchildren to follow, that they would have a place that they could come and hear the gospel, that they could come and erect themselves a little altar somewhere in the church where they could come and ask the Lord to save their soul. Thank you for that. That's what I'm talking about. Seek ye the old paths. You know, it's not always the way that grandmother and grandpa did it. It's the way that Jesus said for us to do it. And I'm glad tonight for those old paths. Thank you. And it wasn't just the ones that founded Silver City Baptist Church either. It's the ones that have come and gone since then. And the ones that are here now. Thank you that you're walking in those old paths. Well, thank you, Sean. Thank you very much. Do you want to be a part of the vine? I don't know what the invitation is tonight. If you're here, if you're lost, come and be saved. If you're here tonight, whatever Jesus bids you to do, you do that. I'll tell you one thing we will do. Thank you, Lord. We'll ask Sean and Dustin and Stephen, if they would, to stand up here. I love these men, and I want you to come around if the Lord lets you. And tell them how much you love them, how much you're going to be praying for them, that they would preach the gospel, Jesus Christ, that you must be born again. So while we stand, men, come and be obedient to the Lord. Whatever it is you do, do that.
539.
Bless you.